HarperCollins presents How to Raise a Viking, The Secrets of Parenting the World's Happiest Children, written and read by Helen Russell. For the mini Vikings, sorry about the bubble machine. For parents-to-be, it'll all be okay. And don't worry if you can't keep Basil alive. I can't keep Basil alive, or any houseplant, despite following instructions. Green-fingered friends persist, buying plants they assure me are foolproof. These inevitably brown and wilt, and we both look like fools. Houseplants? No. But children? Yes, three of them. So don't worry if you can't do Basil. You can still do parenting. Here's how Vikings do it. Introduction. The Accidental Viking. I knew I'd passed the point of no return when Googling best acts for children in a coffee shop while my babies slept outside in their pram. Munching on rye bread, jam and cheese, together, welcome to Denmark, I was feeling the creeping sensation of caffeine working its magic when an email pinged up from my son's scout group. I was expecting pre-camp paperwork or an invitation to bake something. Instead, it read, "On Wednesday we build bonfires. Bring daggers." No, he hasn't joined a gang. In the land of Vikings, children are regularly tooled up fire starters. Something that could earn him jail time in the UK is normal for mini Vikings, who are packing blades every Wednesday. By the age of six, the eldest already had his own dagger and toolkit, complete with hammer, saw, screwdrivers, flathead and crosshead. He couldn't read or write. Scandinavians aren't fussed about book learning before the age of eight. But he was killing it at boat building and kindling campfires. It wasn't supposed to be like this. The girl about town, convinced she couldn't have children, never expected to become a mother of three living in rural Scandinavia. I lived and worked for 12 years as a journalist in London, and I had no intention of leaving until, out of the blue one wet Wednesday, my husband was offered his dream job working for Lego in Denmark. I was sceptical to start with. I had a career I'd worked hard for. We had a flat, good friends, close family. I had a life. Okay, so my husband and I both worked long hours, ran on adrenaline, and barely had time to see each other. We regularly had to bribe ourselves to get through the day, and we'd both been ill on and off for the past 6 months. But that was normal, right? We thought we were living the city dream. In reality, we were burnt out. We'd also been trying to start a family of our own with years of fertility treatment, only it never seemed to work. So when this other life possibility was dangled in front of us, the chance to swap everything we knew for the unknown, we stopped in our tracks. Denmark had just been voted the happiest country in the world, and I became fascinated by this. How had a tiny Nordic nation managed to pull off the happiest nation on earth title? Was there something in the water? Could beer, bacon and pastries really make life so much better? I discovered that Denmark had regularly been voted one of the happiest countries in the world, in studies going back to the 1970s. We visited one weekend just to check the place out. And as soon as I stepped off the plane, I noticed there was something different about the Danes we met. They didn't look like us, for starters, quite apart from the fact that they were all strapping Vikings towering over me. They looked more relaxed and healthier. They walked more slowly. They took their time to stop and eat together, or talk, or just breathe. And we were impressed. My husband, an outdoorsy Yorkshireman not shy of a cagoule, was sold on the idea. He begged me to move, promising we'd relocate for my career next time, and I found myself agreeing. I quit my job as editor of MarieClaire.co.uk to go freelance and decided I would give it a year, investigating the Danish happiness phenomenon firsthand. I would look at a different area of living each month to see what Danes did differently, from food to family life, from design to daycare and education. Each month I would throw myself into living Danishly to see if it made me happier, and if I could change the way I lived as a result. I would seek out sociologists, historians, scientists, economists, politicians, psychologists, everyone, in fact, to try to uncover the secrets to living Danishly. So we emigrated, swapping the bright lights and bustle of the UK's capital for rural Jutland in the middle of winter. I didn't know anyone, didn't speak the language, and had no job. My Lego man husband left to go to work at 7:30 a.m., and I was all on my own.